Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Checkers of Record Show on Speedway Anywhere, your Speedway podcast for everything motorsports and even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere. You can always find us on blogtalkradio.com. Click on the search bar, type in the word Speedway Anywhere, all as one, or you can type in Speedway and the word Anywhere. Sorry about the problems we had coming in to the 7 p.m. slot. Not quite sure what happened there. And I got to say that I can't wait for next year to roll around, because there's been nothing but hang-ups and technical problems. And when you go live, you're going live. And I'm telling you, I don't want to pre-record the show and exclude the listeners from being able to do listener call-ins and whatnot, but when your site and your internet literally disconnects you, it's quite embarrassing, and please forgive me for that. Feel free to join the show. We are back live now. Call 917-889-2053. We're live every
Can
Monday
Can I interrupt
and Thursday.
Real quick?
No, you can't. We
okay,
are live
but I'm on, right?
Thursday, yes.
Okay, I'm hanging up.
Central time. So, not sure what happened there. I'm your crew chief Q, Captain Kurt, who you just heard from, will be back on. Captain from the Sands will be joining us as well. Only three official shows left for this season, and all except the three major NASCAR divisions have crowned their champs. I was preparing some news about the problems with NASCAR's pre-race qualifying and post-race inspection system, as well as unfair calls both on and off the track during race day that affect the outcome. But did everyone see all that action over the weekend at Phoenix? If you missed anything, you may have got confused when you came back. The who's in or who's out for the finals at Miami kept changing literally seconds apart. And that goes for all three series Friday through Sunday at Phoenix. Lots of drivers news for going into 2019 to go along with this week and last week and weekend two. NHRA put the crowns on their champs Sunday at Pomona. Some were sewed up going into the weekend. I think the NHRA showdown needs a little work. It isn't near as suspenseful and unpredictable as the three major divisions in the NASCAR chase. Do I feel like the chase system needs work? Oh, yeah. But perfection is always the goal. I just don't like having the kings and queens crowned before the final event. NHRA has some work to do as far as where the champ is at a previous event before they even get to their final event. I don't like when Steve Torrance is crowned at Vegas, and then all Tanner Gray has to do is show up and qualify for the first round of 16. So I'm just had to show up, but my complaint goes from how Courtney Force held the top until the points were zeroed out before the sixth event showdown, as NHRA calls it, their showdown. There are drivers who made huge marks all year long until the final six race showdown. It didn't matter after that, though. It was zeroed out. It was 10 drivers from each division that qualified for it. And the regular season didn't matter. This is the case in NASCAR years ago, but at least not anymore. NASCAR builds points in seeding and bursts all throughout the year. We'll get to more on that in each series in just a bit. I'm kind of rattled right now because my website server just didn't do its job tonight, and I got 15 minutes behind not knowing if I'm going to get back on air, and made a big fool out of myself too, by the way. Coming on at 7:15 and no audio. As mentioned last week, the worst kept secret was finally revealed, that Martin Truex Jr. and the crew chief Cole Pearn would be moving to the number 19 at Joe Gibbs Racing. No word on where Daniel Suarez is going, but the news is pointing him to the number 41 at Stewart Haas Racing, with Kurt Busch leaving to drive the number one at Ganassi Racing. Ross Chastain has been confirmed to drive the number 42 at Ganassi Racing in the Xfinity Series in 2019. Ross Chastain had a handful of success in that ride, and now will take it over full-time in 2019. Jeffrey Earnhardt will be driving the number 18 Xfinity car at Joe Gibbs Racing part-time in 2019. Jeffrey Earnhardt has 151 starts across the board for NASCAR's three major series. Jeffrey Earnhardt is the son of Kerry Earnhardt and Dale Jr.'s nephew. Austin Cindric is moving to the number 22 Penske Xfinity ride in 2019. The 22 has had a lot of successful events being driven by multiple drivers, including Austin Cindric. Austin Cindric made the chase in the Xfinity Series in 2018 in his rookie season, but only made it to eighth after the finish at Phoenix, not able to make it into the top four to go to Miami. Austin also spent time in Roush Racing's number 60 Xfinity car this year, where he compiled points along with the 12 and the 22 at Gibbs to make it to the chase as well. One more bit of news, and I'm going to do a quick little cut and catch my breath because I've scrambled to get this show on the air for you guys. One more bit of news. Cole Whitt, who has 161 starts in the Cup Series, has decided to step away from racing. Cole Whitt, like said, has 161 starts in Cup, as well as multiple starts in the Xfinity and Truck Series. Cole is only 27 years old, so this does surprise me. So I'm going to cut for a minute, and then we'll be right back. No.
Green flag, hammer down.
All right, after all the news about the number four car being levied massive penalties last week, the four of Kevin Harvick took the pole at Phoenix, basically known as his playground. Harvick has 9 wins at Phoenix, making it both his winningest track and the driver who has the most wins at Phoenix. So coming into the race, Harvick was 3 points ahead of teammate Kurt Busch at the cutoff point for the final spot for the Miami finale after the points and being stripped of his win after Texas. He led almost the entire first stage, so just laps before the first stage caution. Harvick lost a right side front tire, and it only got worse. Harvick had to enter pit road as the pit road was closed 2 laps before the stage ends. This put the four in a precarious position where it's a lesser of consequence if he goes ahead and pulls into the pits. He would have torn up the splitter more. He would have maybe slapped the fender off with the tire shreds of the four if he didn't pit road. Here's what I want to add. The four team lost their crew chief and car chief after the penalty at Texas. Now, a lot of the media made mention about communication between suspended and replacement members via, you know, cell phones and internet as far as communication. While the suspended members sit at home, I guess is the best way to put it. Now, there isn't time in those circumstances, like when his tire went down, for a suspended crew chief to make the judgment and communicate it to the crew at the track. And the reaction from Harvick spotter, Tim Fedewa, a long experienced driver and spotter working with Kevin Harvick, he was there, and Harvick trusts Fedewa to give the right input, such as getting into the pits, even when they're closed. So, you know, a team's a team. The suspensions on the car chief and the crew chief really didn't have an impact at that incident where they had to make the right call, and it all worked out. So it's the big three as we've gotten to know them in 2018, Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, who have traded top numbers of wins, Martin Truex with 4 wins, and Joey Logano with a chase win at Martinsville to get him further in the chase, as well as his win at Talladega to give him a chase berth back in May. So Harvick took the pole on Friday and led the first 73 laps before he lost that tire in the first stage. So it became an uphill battle as he ended up a lap down, took a pit road penalty, and then moved on to advance throughout the race. Kyle Busch won. Chase contenders Kurt Busch and Chase Elliott, 5th and 6th, coming in, held the lead here and there for a possible win you're in, but didn't hold on. Almirola was 7th of the 8 coming in to Phoenix and was the only Chase-eligible driver, separating Harvick from being in a position to get in on points as we came to the win. If Eric Almirola would have won, Harvick would have been relegated to 5th seed and out of the Homestead Miami finale. Now, the top 5 in the race ended up with Kyle Busch for the win, 2nd to Brad Keselowski, 3rd to Kyle Larson. By the way, Brad Keselowski was definitely knocking on the back bumper of Kyle Busch for that win. It wouldn't have mattered to Kyle Busch. He had more than enough points to advance to the final 4. 3rd went to Kyle Larson. 4th, Eric Almirola, right ahead of his teammate, Kevin Harvick. So Eric Almirola was in a win-you're-in scenario, and even 4th place didn't do it as far as points. Couple honorable mentions go to Matt Kenseth. He pulled off a top 10. He finished 7th. Kenseth so far has no intention to return in 2019. And the 6th hasn't performed very strong at all this year between Kenseth and Trevor Bayne. That car, of course, will be replaced by Ryan Newman next year. Austin Dillon, 2018 Daytona 500 winner, took a top 10, finishing 8th after what I'd call a lackluster year at best. He made it into the race, but he didn't make it out of that first round of 16. And Bubba Wallace, speaking of Austin Dillon, Bubba Wallace, who finished second place at Daytona, he finally picked up another top 10, too. He has had a pretty much mid-pack year, but he'll be back in the Richard Petty number 43 in next year. One more guy, William Byron. I think it's one more guy. Yes. William Byron, who's been chasing better results all year. He took 9th, as well as being announced as the 2018 Rookie of the Year. He'll be back in the number 24 at Hendrick next year. So the top four chase field is set as Kyle Busch and Joey Logano, both with a win you're in. And then Martin Truex and Kevin Harvick managed to hold on to enough points to finish out that top four going into Miami. The other chase contenders from 5th to 8th were either involved in wrecks or Eric Almirola, who couldn't make up the points to get into that top four. Even Joey Logano, who came into the weekend with a win and was the first of the chase drivers to have a lock, he had the earliest wreck at Phoenix, and he finished farthest back of that top four. So, bizarre weekend. Extremely bizarre. Also, pit stops caused a lot of penalties. Anything from speeding for Chase Elliott, anything from speeding for Kurt Busch. And then, of course, when pit road was closed and Kevin Harvick had to come in regardless because of the tire that he cut down. So, hey, it's off to Homestead, Miami this coming Sunday to decide it all and put an exclamation point on the season. Oh, thank God the system's working, huh?
Yeah.
It was working just fine. Yeah, it was working just fine when me and you were on earlier.
Well, maybe it's Kevin Harvick's crew's fault. Maybe they were doing some repairs or something, and something got screwed up.
Just when everything is going great. You know, all I did is adjust the output on the initial bumper music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a hang-up signal, and it was gone. So. I don't know. We're on a different length than the one that I promoed, so ratings are going to be low. But whatever. We're here. It'll be on the podcast. I'm good.
Well, you never know. We're being shot out through time and space, so somebody will hear us over the next infinite amount of years.
So we got a lot of ground to make up. Xfinity, Saturday's race was as exciting as they get. In the past two Xfinity races, Christopher Bell has barely got past the first green flag without being a part of a collision or part of a caution or of some sort. Not even a collision. He spun himself out at Texas after being on the pole. Bell has the most wins this year, but was 7th in points coming into Phoenix. Bell started on the pole at Texas and in second, I'm trying to talk too fast here. Started second at Kansas. Both races, he finished way behind. But he had to start way back in 38 at Phoenix, and he won. That gave him a championship berth going to Miami, and maybe that's what he needs to do at Miami. Start last and then take the championship. Maybe it's the way to stay out of trouble in the earlier laps. That's what a lot of drivers do on the restrictor plate tracks. They just coast around the back and then pour it on at the end. Of course, with the stage racing, they did that so drivers would race the whole race. Speaking of trouble, there wasn't much depending who you ask. Justin Allgaier got clobbered by pole sitter John Hunter Nemechek's car on lap 145, relegating Allgaier to finish 24th. That had some repercussions, by the way. Chase contender Elliott Sadler also had contact with the number 40 car of Chad Benchum. Sadler was never able to get enough spots for a points berth and finished 11th. Sadler retiring at the end of the year after Homestead Miami. Noah Gregson will assume the wheel of the number one going into 2019. So when all was settled, it was Christopher Bell with the win, second to Daniel Hemric, third to Matt Tift, fourth Austin Cindric, and the top five was rounded up by Ryan Preece. Ryan Preece being the only one that was not chase eligible going into this final race before Miami. So after the struggles of Allgaier and Sadler, along with Cindric and Tift not being in a good enough position for points, the field for the championship at Homestead Miami goes Cole Custer and Christopher Bell, both locked their way in with the wins, and Tyler Reddick and Daniel Hemric. They took the third and fourth spots based on points. Drivers outside of that fourth place cut were fifth to Elliott Sadler, sixth to Matt Tift, seventh to Justin Allgaier, and eighth to Austin Cindric. I got to say, for Cindric to put together this year, he did to three different rides is pretty awesome. As mentioned, Cindric, what's that?
He had that many rides.
Three different cars, two at Gibbs and one at Roush. I got to say, for Hendrick to do that is pretty awesome. As mentioned, Cindric will run the number 22 full-time next year, which he's driven this year. He's going to be in stiff competition, though, with Ross Chastain getting that number 42 Ganassi ride, as well as Noah Gregson coming in. Running it, that Junior Motorsports number one. And then, of course, the long-standing contenders in the Xfinity Series as well. Christopher Bell is obviously the Rookie of the Year with seven wins, and we aren't even past the finale. He just might be the champion. Yeah, he might be the champion as well. We're going to Miami. Yeah, exactly. We're going to Miami to decide it all this Saturday. I believe it was Greg Biffle or someone that took the championship as a rookie, too. I'd have to look that up, but it does come to memory. All right, I can breathe for a second. I've been talking too fast, and my throat's getting sore. So I heard you caught the end of the cup race yesterday.
Yeah, and I forgot which announcer said, but I actually heard somebody say it about Mr. Busch, love him or hate him. I actually finally heard somebody mention something like that.
Yawn, not positive, but I do think that Harvick did back off a bit. And there was that wreck that Harvick got into the back of someone. Was that? Not sure. But they said that Harvick was getting impatient. Well, if you ask me, that little shove that he gave the guy in front of him, Harvick's driver's side front corner was on the rear corner of the car in front of him. Kyle Busch's front bumper was on Kevin Harvick's passenger side bumper. I don't think that was impatience. I think Harvick just need to make a judgment call and decide, do I hit the car in front of me or do I get a hit from behind? I mean, what would you do?
Oh, I don't know. I got to change the subject here real quick. I will admit, though, it was pretty cool seeing a good-sized crowd watch a decent race this year. I'll mention that. You know, I think Harvick in some ways, I didn't know what he was going to do. I don't know what I would have did.
Yeah, there is no right answer to that.
No.
And by the way, yeah, you're right. For Phoenix to be able to sell it out, who knows why? It could have been with the crunched up points after the Harvick penalty. It could be the revamp to the new facility. I'm sure it's a combination, and it went over good. And I got to say that Kink in the out of turn four coming to the start finish line for a green flag, it definitely made things interesting.
Yeah, it did.
What were they, like 15 wide going down in turn one on the restart?
Yeah. Yeah, and plus, you had a decent race on broadcast television. Remember that, people, too. So some good exposure for a good race. And, and the crowd seemed to be into it. And, but though they were more than two and three wide down there too, which was kind of cool to see. And it was almost like it was just like they were being aggressive but also cautious at the same time.
Yeah.
Which I actually think makes for decent racing.
Can you imagine being a spotter?
Yeah. Oh, and
you'd be more like, okay, inside two. All right, three inside. Oh, one outside. You're inside. You're in the middle. Oh, you're not in the middle no more. You're behind. And it's just, how would you even call that?
Before the race. Oh, who's the guy? That guy with the beard. For NBC. He's always wearing the flannel shirt, glasses.
Oh, you're talking about Rutledge Wood.
Oh, Rutledge, yeah. I always forget his name, but I always like him because he doesn't try to come off like a know-it-all, and he actually looks like he's enjoying himself too, which is kind of nice. He had mentioned before the race that they even changed where the spotters are on the track,
Yeah, he's one of the old school speed vision and speed channel guys. And yeah.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
It was really humorous, too, watching him parasail in Lake Lloyd at Daytona, and then he got... the boat went to turn around, and he ended up bottoming out in the grass. It was cool.
Oh, man.
Hey, I got to get through the truck series here.
All right.
So the trucks, they opened up the weekend Friday night, and it got interesting real quick. Is this was the first race on the new start finish line, by the way. None of the drivers had seen any real racing on that start finish line we were just talking about. It almost looked like every truck in the field entered turn one at about 32 trucks wide. So. Noah Gregson took the pole, but it was unpredictable if he would even get halfway between turns one and two and still has a lead. The race had its fair share of collisions and cautions, but the one that changed the outcome was when Noah Gregson was leading with seven to go. On the restart, Brett Moffitt was already in a points berth for the top four for Miami. But he gained the lead with Infinger and Gregson up in front of him. As those two were racing each other, Moffitt just skated right on by in that big runoff apron area. So a few laps later, five-time 2018 winner, Brett Moffitt, he assumed the checkers. John Hunter Nemechek spun late and brought out the red flag goal prior to that after he put brake fluid down on the and coated it on the track when he spun, and the splitter and some other parts broke in the front of his truck. So the track was soaked. It really was. And John Hunter ended up back in 29th. He had challenged for the lead and ran up front for much of the race. And it was while he was going for the lead against, it was either Moffitt or Enfinger. And when he wrecked, that was it for him. Harrison Burton led the second most laps to Gregson and finished third behind Gregson in second. Grant Enfinger, let me double check this, and he ended up in fourth. And fifth went to Stuart Friesen. So that's pretty much almost all of your four that are going to Miami. Some others who had a good day were the ARCA guys. This year's ARCA champion, Sheldon Creed. Creed assumed the number 42 truck at Martinsville. He's had lackluster results, but finished 10th. For his first top 10 at Phoenix. So he's got one more in that truck at Miami, and I believe there's news he'll be back in the truck series next year. Fellow ARCA driver Chris Neckes, who has raced with Sheldon Creed pretty much the whole year, finished in ninth. Not sure what the plans for Neckes is going into 2019. The four to decide it all at Miami in the trucks are Brett Moffitt, Justin Haley. Haley had a bad night, but hey, he's locked in with a win. Johnny Sauter also has a win to get him into the final four. And then Noah Gregson, he doesn't have any wins in the chase, but he does have a win this year. So that's your field for 2018. It's going to be Brett Moffitt, Justin Haley, Johnny Sauter, and Noah Gregson. Just outside of the top four was Matt Crafton. Crafton just couldn't quite get back to his winning ways all year. Crafton is a two-time champ in the truck series with 14 wins and currently holds the record for most consecutive starts. Let's see what happens Friday night in Miami when it all comes down. Woo! That's a lot of talking. All right, I guess I'm going to go on to NHRA.
All right.
You're killing me here, man.
The force is definitely not with that family, I take it, right?
The force is definitely not with me. Holy crap, I got off to a rough start, and now it's just getting rougher on the voice. It's one of those nights where you're just like, ugh, can I go home now? So to anyone who might be listening because of the bad link that I originally put up, I really appreciate it. NHRA Pomona was a fun finish for 2018. It was nice to see a few drivers make it to the semifinals who were already out of the championships, but they still tried. Brittany Force went into the semis, but of course had to face off with crown champ Steve Torrence. That's never an easy battle, but she did make it into the final round before the semis. Steve Torrence moved to the finals after the semis against Tony Schumacher. That's for the finals. Torrence moved to the finals against Tony Schumacher, and Torrence put an exclamation point on his championship by winning over Schumacher. Now, as far as funny car, the funny car division was wrapped up after the first bracket of 16. It was basically down to Robert Height from John Forrest Racing and J.R. Todd coming into the weekend. Height didn't even make it out of the first round of 16. J.R. Todd made it to the final. So basically in the second round, J.R. Todd already had it. But the forces of funny car did advance, but not to the semis. This meant that all three of the John Force racing cars were out of the semis early on. Because Robert Height didn't make it past the first 16. And then, of course, John and Courtney didn't get into the semis. So it came down to Tommy Johnson and J.R. Todd, where J.R. wrapped it up by winning the championship with a pride victory in the final. So, Pro Stock, we knew who was going to win that championship. I got some disturbing news on that. Not on the winner, but on next year's plans for... Yeah, and some cool plans for the champion, too. Pro Stock has been probably the most competitive division all year. And I found it appropriate that Erica Enders and season rival Tanner Gray had to do it one last time to decide who gets to the semis. Erica and Tanner have been what we'll call frenemies, whatever that pop culture term is, multiple times this year. They've had it out. Tanner moved on, and I bet Erica was probably one of the top in his cheering section as he went to the finals. Tanner pretty much won just by making it to the 16 qualifiers. In other words, just like the funny car division, where it was like all you got to do is show up and start. Here's something funny. Family member Shane Gray, not Taylor, not the stock car driver, but Shane Gray, guess who went up against Tanner in the first, in the 16 qualifier bracket?
Oh,
it was Shane Gray. I'm wondering how Thanksgiving is going to go. Is Shane or Tanner even going to be in the same house? Are they even going to talk to each other if they are? No, I'm sure Shane had to have known he didn't have a prayer against Tanner. Erica Anders' teammate, Jegs Coughlin, had a shot in the semis, but it was Drew Skillman who moved to the final to go against Tanner. Tanner made quick work of Skillman, and yes, again, another champ wins a final at Pomona. Pro Bike was probably the most unpredictable going into Pomona, with six drivers within 113 points of each other, but it was the top guy going in, Matt Smith. He came in with the points and then left with a victory in the finals and a cap on the championship. All right, here's my big vent moment. I've said it all year. I think the Pro Stock division is the most entertaining and the most competitive. That was a good one. Heck, even Rob McGahey had a fire under him to protest the engines of Eric Anders and Jegs Coughlin. Kind of reminded me of the short track divisions. You know, short tracks, short fuses. So Rob McGahey throws a fit and goes and spends the money to protest the engines of a couple of drivers. Of course, he lost the protest, but...
Mm-hmm.
But then, and now you got Tanner Gray. He's on his way to stock car racing. And obviously, he's the face of NHRA Pro Stock. My bitch is that NHRA is reducing the Pro Stock division races down to 18 next year. Why would you do that? Why? 24 events down to 18.
Do they get enough entrants?
You know, that's an interesting point because I believe in the bracket of 16, I've seen only a couple of times. But yes, I have seen where there's only 15 cars that show up to qualify. Now, if it was down to 14 or 12 or something like that, but at other big events, there's 4 to 8 to 10 go-homers.
Yeah.
So, to reduce it by 6 races, yeah, I don't agree with that. Sure, Tanner Gray's leaving, but there's still some other drivers out there with big names. Yeah. I mean, you have a Pedregon, you have Erica Anders, you got Coughlin, you got... There's people up there in the crowd that are still cheering.
Yeah.
I like the drama of the division and how Tanner and Erica... act like short track brothers and sisters and how McGahey pays that money out to protest the engines of the Coughlin team that Erica's a part of. I love how the points took a long time for Tanner to wrap it up, and the list goes on. It's bad enough how we have Pro Stock bikes not running regularly, and we don't know if it's the NHRA or the Harley sanctioned division. But I got to say this year's Pro Stock bike champion will be joining Pro Stock car as well. He's going to be doing double duty all next year. Why reduce the damn races? So reducing the Pro Stock schedule is a mistake, if not a complete flaw in plans. Even with the face of Pro Stock, Tanner leaving onto stock cars. But hey, now it's a long season off till NHRA returns where they finished. They'll be at Pomona February 7th to the 10th, where they'll do it all again in 2019. And hopefully the force of John will get that elusive 150th win in a final. I'm going to cut to the bad news. Our home state of Minnesota, Brainerd International Raceway, home of the NHRA up here. 47-year-old John Copham, some call him Jed Copham, died after going overboard in a boat accident off the Fort Myers coast near Sanibel yesterday, Sunday. This morning near one of the slips, one of the jetties, I wasn't real clear on it, boat landings near Sanibel. The sheriff's got a call where his body was found. right off of Fort Myers there. So he was only 47 years old, and him and his wife actually bought Brainerd back in 2006. And, you know, I'd mentioned news a few times as far as how Brainerd wasn't going to comply with what the NHRA was requiring. And I believe that it was Copham that made the improvements and was able to keep the NHRA up there. So, yeah, it's been a great little bunch of news. You know, I say my negative stuff about the pro stock division and whatever, but hey, that doesn't even matter. When the owner of probably the only real professional track in the state of Minnesota passes away like that, that sucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and scoot ahead here in the news. Formula One in Indy. You might not know some of this, Kurt. You might know the beginning, but Formula One in IndyCar. Fernando Alonso, obviously, and Jimmy Johnson recently announced a ride swap in Bahrain after Thanksgiving. Alonso also announced he would be back for his second Indy 500. Did you know there was a first Indy 500 for Fernando Alonso?
No, but I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked, but I just didn't know he was ever in one, though.
Yeah, apparently he ran Indy in 2017. He's retiring from Formula One this year, by the way, but obviously not quite retiring from racing. So he'll be running in 2019 at the Indy 500. Obviously, he's got the ride swap coming up with Jimmy Johnson in Bahrain, but he's also going to compete in the 2019 running of the Rolex 24. Now, here's something funny. Let's cheer up here. You know that episode of South Park when Stan's dad buys the Blockbuster?
Oh, of course.
Remember how Stan ended up being on an iPod or tablet of some sort so he could, he had to stay on webcam back at the Blockbuster on Halloween, but Cartman, Kenny, and Kyle, the face on his costume was the tablet. Well, here's what happened at Phoenix. Jimmy Johnson was being interviewed in the press conference area, whatever, and the media center. And they also had Fernando Alonso on a laptop looking out at the reporters right next to Jimmy Johnson.
Really?
Dead serious. So they did kind of a, what do they call those? Not a teleconference, whatever. And it was just hilarious because all I could picture is that South Park episode the whole time. And they're asking Alonso questions and they're asking Johnson questions. And Johnson's got his little friend on the laptop screen through the right next to him. And just, yeah.
Yeah.
Bizarro.
Yeah.
So, hey. Oh, that was loud. So, no word yet on the 2018 IndyCar champ, Scott Dixon, but he has been interested in doing some stock car racing. at least on a part-time basis.
Hmm.
Nothing has been announced as of yet. So, hey, we're hitting that part of the show. What?
I got to add, I don't think it would be a good thing for him just to jump in from one to another. But you know what? Try to qualify for Daytona if you can, dude. You know, just see if you can. You know, just do.
I don't
go
think
on
it's going to happen at Daytona. I think, there'd be more of a transitional something.
Yeah,
you know, like
Tanner
Gray is going to David Gilliland. And, you know, who's got multiple resources as far as K&N cars and then short track late models. And then, of course, he's got trucks ready to go, too. So,
yeah.
But
I would almost tell Dixon, you know, if you want to kind of break in, go to ARCA because you will get to be on some major tracks still too, you know, and the pressure won't be too much on you. Well, maybe it will because of his name, but that's what I would tell him to do. Try ARCA or go to the K&N series, one of them, just to kind of get your feet wet a little. Don't even try the Xfinity series right away. Just, you know.
Well, different guys do it different. I mean, Danica jumped right in a Busch car, and of course at Daytona she ran the ARCA race. Is it the weekend before? Yeah, it was the weekend before when she ran the ARCA race at Daytona before her debut in the Busch Xfinity series. And that was the opening weekend before the where the Cup boys were there as well with the shootout.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Different strokes for different folks. I think that Juan Montoya just jumped straight in a Cup car, and that was it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Montoya just jumped right into the Cup series.
Yep. I'm kind of surprised that there isn't maybe some type of announcement, because obviously Dixon is a Ganassi driver.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it's kind of a surprise that Ganassi isn't going to do something with him at some transitional point. Maybe a K&N car, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's let me check who's asking me a question here. Huh. People are confused about the.
Is this the show where they say Coolin sucks all the time? Great, miss that one. No.
All right. Folks, yes, the previous link is broken because it didn't connect properly for the beginning of the show. If you're going to listen back to the podcast, you'll have to wait until we're off air on this one. It will take about 5 minutes for it to upload to Blog Talk Radio. Then you can hear it from the beginning to the end. You won't be able to call in, but I apologize for that. And next year when I'm in my new studio with my new equipment and we'll be able to work out all those bugs, I'll probably be on a different server as well. So, Weblog Radio or Weblog whatever I'm thinking about going to. We'll get that all set up going into next year. By the way, just to remind everyone, we're down. We are literally on our third to last show as we are speaking right now, or at least third to last official show. We'll be doing some snowcross and monster truck and playing around with that kind of stuff throughout the year. And when there's breaking news, we'll put together a show and get it out there on the podcast. Whether or not we go live, not quite sure. So, all right, let's go to multi-sports, and you know who the man of the hour is.
Well, first of all, Jimmy Buckets no longer on a
I wasn't there yet. I was going tomorrow.
I was just gonna get the Butler thing out of the way, then I was gonna go to Maurer. Okay. But I will go with Maurer first. He's officially retired. And by the way, for anybody listening out of town, Joe Maurer's going to stick around, and we're going to see a lot more of him. And he actually does have a personality. He showed it in the press conference. So whether he's going to – I'm going to probably say Hall of Famer. I'm not sure, but – three batting titles and that, and I got to admit, it was kind of cool to see, Justin Morneau at the press conference. Molitor was there, Gardenhire was there, and a few other people were there, and he's about to become a dad for the third time, so he's going to stay busy, and he's not going anywhere, people, and he's one of the greatest athletes in Minnesota history, so...
You know, I remember when the Twins played their final game that we were going to look up his career stats and put that all together and whatnot, but it kind of got lost by the wayside because there really hadn't been any talk or any fair warning, and then it's just, here, he's officially
mm-hmm.
retired.
Yep.
I remember talking to Mom, and I said that maybe I could do it more on a basis of, if Joe Maurer were to retire today, his career stats would be, you know, leave
yeah.
it open like that. But so,
you know, he batted over 300 for his career, three batting titles, and he was the first catcher to ever win a batting title. I mean, you know, And I got to admit, though, you know, 2017, he batted over 300 again, and I think he still could have played, but, why risk doing permanent damage with those concussions? You know, you could be a billionaire, but it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it, you know, just say goodbye when... And you never know, because there are pro athletes that retire before they're completely done, and they're actually better when they're 60 years old than they were when they were 40.
You know, unfortunately, concussions just seem to be the rule, not the exception anymore.
Like we talked about,
I think it was last week, as far as the refs.
Yeah.
And the NASCAR officials, the pit crews have to wear helmets now. It's not just the drivers, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Like I say, it's unfortunate we couldn't have put together all the stats and got all that done. But, you know, there's always a Thursday or next Monday. We can always do that in multi-sports as well.
Yep.
I'm going to move on to the Minnesota Wild. 11-4-2.
The greatest team that ever lived. I'm not going to go that far yet, but they are hot. And after that really long road trip, got 10 points out of a possible 14. And I think it's their goalie. It's Mr. Dubnyk, and just the right pieces at the right time. And I know that they've did this before, and you know, it's just nice to see. Nobody's complaining.
Well, remember the Blues were supposed to be so hot and everything too, and they shut them down. By the way, I don't care if they're the opposing team or whatever, but they have the coolest logo.
Oh yeah,
the
great team.
The wings.
Oh yeah, yeah, and a great, yeah, and a great team name because you know you don't. You know, because St. Louis is known for blues. Everybody's told me, you know, it's people bring up the blues in Chicago, but St. Louis, everybody that's into blues, they've always brought up St. Louis, and it's a great name, and that logo is always cool.
You always stop talking when I'm swallowing.
Oh.
Don't say anything.
That's what she no, sorry.
But yeah, I mean, when you look at the Wild, even if you split those ties, that would give them a 12-5 record. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Even if it was 11-6 and, you know, there wasn't two ties there, you're still doing pretty freaking decent.
Yes.
But, yeah, we're going to be playing the Stanley Cup champ Capitals tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
With the Caps' new coach. No more trots.
Nope.
Damn it.
Nope. No more Trotsky. That's what I always called him.
So before we talk about the 76ers they're getting the butt, I wanted to bring up Gopher women's basketball. Lindsay took her first game, 70-47. So
and they are ranked 25th now.
Interesting. I believe their next game isn't until Wednesday.
Yep.
So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
Yep, and kind of funny, the Gopher men's team is playing at 8 o'clock tonight. They're on Oak Street on University Avenue. They got an 8 o'clock Monday night game, which is kind of different, but... Against
you know,
Utah.
As I was paragraphing, I didn't look where the women's basketball Gophers were playing, whether it was here or there, but because that's when I got the breaking news about the owner of Brainerd.
Oh.
Do you know if they're on the road? Or?
I don't know yet.
Okay. Yeah, we'll figure it out. So... All right, well, they got rid of the butt.
Yeah, and, I forgot the three guys that they got, but one of them is supposed to be pretty good defensively. They just had to get rid of a cancer on the team. And
you went to the 76ers, was it?
Yep, he's going to Philly.
Okay.
Yep.
Huh. Well, he'll fit right in with that asshole crowd that we had to put up with the Vikings.
maybe.
Here's something I want to bring up because, you know, the Bears are all the news now. No, sure, they got Khalil Mack, and Khalil Mack made the team. And they're saying that Detroit losing Tate broke the team. Now, do you really think a player can make or break a team? One guy?
No, but there is can really affect a team. It can't really, I never thought it could really make or break a team, but you know, you're although I said this way, way, way back when Michael Jordan played. He's not the only one on that team, but you take him away, it ain't the same team. It, you know, I mean, in baseball, that ace pitcher is down. Ooh, it can be a problem. I think it does take something away.
I'm going to spin that on you, though. Now, when you consider the way that Butthead brings the morale of the Timberwolves down, that's one guy.
Yeah.
So another guy coming in can lift that morale as well. So.
Oh, yeah.
And look at Favre. Jesus Christ. But we also had a lot of strong guys to go along with them.
Oh, yeah, we.
For one
we
year.
Had, we had that. We had the best running back in football. We, you know, we. Sidney Rice didn't hurt, and that too. And we had a decent offensive line at the time, and. Another thing, though, about Favre that year is probably the best year he had just from the fact that how accurate he was. He wasn't not throwing that many interceptions. He was not turning that ball over. And Favre did not talk that much either. I mean, just
and then,
a quiet leader.
And then?
And then he showed his, and then he showed a picture of himself to a certain woman.
And then?
And then he got sued.
And then?
And then he retired.
Well, that didn't work out the way I wanted it to, but that's all right. All right, we're going to skip to the... skip up to the section that we call Dude, Who's Your Car? So, Captain went with Marty, Martin Truex Jr. Chief went with Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick, he didn't win, but he finished ahead of Marty.
Yeah, he did.
At least he didn't bet on, I don't know, Buckshot Jones or something. So, dude, who's your champ and who's your winner at Miami?
Well, first I'm going to go with the winner here. I'm picking Armorello because, I don't know, it's just a feeling. Now, as for the champ... Oh, I want to go with Harvick just from the fact that just because what happened in Phoenix, is there some luck on his side? And from what happened previously, a week before, and then look, and he made the Final Four still. I got to go with the other Brush brother. I'm going with him getting the title.
Kyle Busch.
Yeah, I'm going with Kyle.
I thought you were just saying Harvick.
No, I was saying I was going to go with Harvick.
Okay.
But then I said, I think if he wins it, he might get a little bit lucky with something. But I did that before with Kozlowski, and then it didn't turn out for him. But
do you want to do something interesting, being that it's the final race?
Sure.
Would you rather pick who's going to finish lowest in the championship of the four?
Oh, God, I know who I'm picking. Logano.
I know. see, that's who I was going to go with. You know what? Fine.
Should
you
we pick
Logano.
Who's going to finish second?
No. I don't want to type all that up. But, yeah. So, you feel more comfortable picking lowest, or do you feel highest?
I feel more comfortable going highest.
Okay, if you pick the highest, I'm going to pick the lowest, and I'm going with Logano.
Okay, I'm gonna pick Kyle to win it again.
Okay, so you're picking Kyle highest. I'm picking Logano lowest.
Yeah.
All right, but who's going to win the race? Any driver, not just chasers.
You know, I'm going to go.
You said Almirola?
Yeah.
I'm going with Brad Keselowski.
I was thinking about going with Brad, but I'm picking Eric because, yeah, why not? I don't see it being a middle, really, not a super stud driver, but a kind of middle, better than average middle of the road driver. That's why I'm picking Almirola.
You're just picking him because it's the closest track to his home.
I know, but I'm just thinking it's going to be one of them guys out of the race. You know, out of the chase and a guy that's won before, but a guy that's got absolutely no pressure on him.
Okay. All right.
You know, that's why.
I got your picks. Almirola and Kyle Busch for the champion. I'm picking Brad Keselowski to win, and I'm picking Logano to finish last of the chasers. All right. God, too bad we ain't got money on this. All right, final laps.
All right.
Team ownership, owner drivers. Who was better, Alan Kulwicki or Tony Stewart, when Stewart still raced?
Oh, I hate to do this, but I got to go with Stewart just because I know more about him. But Alan Kulwicki, I think Kulwicki was a better story. I mean, the Underbird. I mean, come on. Oh, God.
See, and I'm going to say Kulwicki because he had a lot less resources.
Yeah, he did. I was thinking about the same thing. I mean, I just knew no more about Stewart, but Kulwicki, yeah, it's not a bad choice at all because Kulwicki did not have as much resources and just a great story with Alan Kulwicki.
The underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Underbird.
The Underbird.
All right. Who made the most of the lease after 1990 as far as owner drivers or teams or who would you say?
Oh, who made the most of the least?
With
the, ooh, I'm going to say Kulwicki.
That's a fair assumption. Now,
yeah.
If I had to choose, though, And obviously, Kulwicki, who knows what his career would have been.
Yeah.
But I got to go with Dave Marcus.
Yeah.
Massively
yeah,
underfunded. Of course, he could lean on Childress rating a little bit and maybe borrow a motor here and there. I mean, another guy, Morgan Shepherd.
Yeah.
But if you were to put it on the cup level, I'd have to give it to Dave Marcus. You know?
Well, yeah, I could easily see that because Dave Marcus, he was almost a Saturday night driver. That was a cup driver. And he always was there. He always qualified.
He actually is part of the old Jim Sauter, Dick Trickle, that whole camp.
Yep.
You know, he's from Wisconsin. He's raced at our state fairgrounds multiple times.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
All right. Favorite feel good. Most recent underdog win, not back in the day, but out of the surprise winners, the guy that you always kind of liked, but you didn't think was going to win, but suddenly won.
Oh, in anything?
Well, you could go there if you want.
Well, I'm going to go with racing here. Well, that was a while ago.
Yeah, it's racing-based. But, yeah, it doesn't matter which auto racing series.
Although I love seeing Danica get the pole at Daytona, nothing. We know what happened with her career.
Yeah, but she didn't win. No, who's your
recent
underdog that won?
I still remember Harvick way back in 2001. That's going back some time. Oh God, for racing, I still got to go way
okay,
back
you're
here.
Thinking about it, while you're thinking about it, I'm going to go ahead and spill mine then.
Okay.
I got to say Eric Almirola.
When was his first win?
Well, he won for Petty in a restrictor plate race. And then, of course, he won again this year in a restrictor plate race. But he's in much better equipment, and the way that he came into the chase and whatnot, I got to go with Eric Almirola. He was the underdog.
Okay. God, the only thing that comes to my mind for me, it was, I'm going way, 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 way back in 1992. That's how far back I'm going, is where Dale Jarrett got his first win, beating Davey Allison by less than a second. It was just a fun day out of the blue, and they were at Michigan.
Huh.
And,
right.
Of course, had a family name, too, but.
All right. That one took us way too long. Predictions for next year. Who do you think is going to be dominant or really mess up?
You know, I'm going to do it for both the same guy, Chase Elliott. I think he's either going to be in the Final Four, he's going to be in the chase in Miami next year, or else he's going to really mess up and be a flash in the pan. The same guy.
I say that Martin Truex Jr. slips with the transition going to Gibbs. And I say that Ross Chastain, when he goes to the Xfinity ride in that number 42 for Ganassi, comes out kicking ass.
That could happen.
I think we're going to see more of the same as far as the Kyle Busch thing. I think we're going to see you know, a flash in the pan like Austin Dillon at Daytona 500 or something like that, you know, where just everyone gets on the bandwagon and then I get to play the I Told You So. Because obviously he went nowhere this year.
Yeah.
He took up a spot in the chase of 16 that he really didn't have coming.
Yeah.
I say Jimmy Johnson gets back in victory lane.
Yeah, I think he will too.
Even with a new crew chief and whatnot.
Yeah, he might have needed a year like he's had just to think about things too.
And also Matt DiBenedetto. I think we're going to see him inside not just the 16 going into the chase. I think we're going to see him in the 12 going into the next round of the chase.
Hmm.
So. All right, before we wrap it up, I had to throw some humor in here. Some people might find it not funny at all. Of the active drivers, who do you think is probably the most likely to just let it go in their suit during the race?
Oh, man. Oh, God. You know, I'm trying to think of a guy whose picture looks like somebody that would do something like that. You know what? Just to tick off a lot of his fans, I'm going to say Kevin Harvick.
You know, I can't even come up with one, so I'm just going to say maybe Jimmy Spencer back in the day.
Oh, okay. You know, well, I hate to say this. There was a driver from Wisconsin Rapids that might have.
Oh,
first name Richard. You know,
he was too busy smoking.
Oh, I know. That's what I was thinking. God, who do you think would actually? Oh, man, I'm trying to think of somebody. Nah, he's too good looking to, you know, he'd be considered too looking to do that, so maybe it would have been Jimmy Spencer. Buckshot Jones, back in the day. Penny
Parsons.
No, I'm
not sure. Oh, God. You know, I'm not sure, but when Dale Earnhardt won the 98 Daytona 500, I swear to God, it looked like he had some wet pants when he showed up in Victory Lane.
Oh.
All right, speaking of Victory Lane, it's going to have to go to Stan Lee from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
I was going to do John Copeland, but I already had this prepared. So I got to go through this because there's some cool little references in there. And he lived a lot poorer life. So it's something that's not such a bummer. So Victory Lane to Stan Lee from Marvel Comics. Lee passed away at 95 years of age. It's Spider-Man, X-Men, Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
I just wish he would have made a comic strip of guys like maybe one of Earnhardt and Waltrip and the evil John Force. I totally love a quote from him when he said, "I must have been the only one who applied for the job because I got the job."
Yep.
Now that's a comic.
Yep.
That's just cool right there.
Yep, and cultural icon, and I like to add his superheroes had human flaws. Even the Thing had a flaw, and he wasn't even human. Thor. Thor was a god, and the god had flaws. You know, it wasn't like Superman. Superman never did anything wrong. You know, I mean, Peter Parker thought he helped Peter Parker, you know, with his uncle's death. He blamed himself for his uncle's death, and Bruce Wayne never did.
Okay, I'm not going to get all serious about a comic strip. Okay. So, hey, we're going to cap this Monday's recap and look forward to a Thursday precap where it all comes down to Miami. So we're going to go whatever that word you say.
Which one? Kerplow.
Something like that.
Kerplow, make it so.
Something like that.
Let's see what she can do.
And then?
You know.
Oh, now you don't say anything.
Well, yeah, hell, Captain Kirk even just said, let's see what this thing can do. Let's see what she can do.
And then?
You know. Show me a star and let her lead the way.
Finally, the show is over.
All right, so we're going to cut. We'll be back on Thursday, 7 p.m., for the precap for Miami, and 7 p.m. Central Time for our second-to-last official show of 2008. Let's bump out.
All right.